dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 491.
That's nine from that big number.
We'll be there in, 2 months and a week.
And then we'll start back at one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're gonna reboot. That. No. That's
remix.
Crazy. That's whack, Pat.
Why not?
Why not?
I mean, we could just jump back to the original number whenever.
So I'd have to label everyone volume 2, number 1.
Yeah.
And then after 12, I'd start again.
Well, I mean, no, because it's not like Marvel labels them for.
We'll do a new number 1 every time we have a different team here.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're forging ahead. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Mike,
Marley, Rex, Pat,
Spencer.
Lots of room on the sofa
for them this week. No,
there's not
any room on the sofa.
See, I had no idea Mike had this big fear of dogs, and so it was kind of funny with him sitting and the dogs climb up on the sofa with him, and just the look on his face was like, I'm not comfortable.
I'd rather move. So.
Like, Marley's okay, but Rex, he feels, is going to eat him.
Yes.
Which he could.
Yeah, I mean, just because he could doesn't mean he's gonna.
As he's sitting here, Pat has his arm on him like an armrest. Yeah, he's a vicious dog. Vicious beast.
Well, he had his head rested on my knee for the last 10 minutes. It's all good.
Yeah. There you go. So, some news. I'm going to start with the comics from yesteryear. I don't know, whatever. I had one all set up. It was perfect, but Dave's not here, so we're gonna have to wait for another week for that.
Is that pronounced Dave's not here, man?
Man, yes, Dave's not here, man. Because I know Dave would remember this event and these books, and it would be more fun to do it with him than not. So I went back to January 1980, which... an early year in my collecting, and there were two really good books, and one of which I got in a 3-pack. I was so excited that I got it in a 3-pack.
Where'd you get a 3-pack at then?
It was at some going to grandma's, some not rest stop, but rest stop probably.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So it was a 3-pack, but it was X-Men 129, and even as I opened it, I knew. So it probably wasn't. I didn't get it that month. But that issue came out, which was the first Kitty Pryde classic cover, Wolverine tearing stuff up. But I remember reading that and going, ooh, I think I got a winner here. And that wasn't even really collecting. I was still just reading, but maybe just a little bit of collecting. But I was excited about that one. And then Amazing Spider-Man 200, which was a very important issue where he ran into the burglar again.
Did they ever identify who the burglar was?
I don't know. I mean, they may have in that issue.
Spencer,
I haven't read it
remember?
In a very long time.
I'm sure it's kind of one of those, like, who killed Batman's parents kind of thing. What?
Yeah, well, they knew. I mean, he knew who he was. They arrested him at the house and everything.
So they were in the 3-pack together?
No, they weren't together. The 129, I know, was in a 3-pack.
Okay.
But, yeah, those just came out the same month.
Okay.
But so, some cool books of yesteryear from my youth.
That's when Claremont and Byrne were at their best.
Yeah.
They were hitting all strides on that.
Yeah. So, there's some news that I want to talk about, and then we do have some questions. So, the first one is Daniel Cherry, who, after AT&T bought... DC bought Warner Brothers, installed him as the new head of DC. And he claimed that he was a big comic fan in this little video they did for us, but he came from esports, and I don't know if he's the reason, but I'm sure he's part of the reason we got that Fortnite book rushed out. But he has left. Apparently he was headhunted by Kanye. To go work for him. He had worked
like
Kanye. Oh, just Ye. Sorry.
Are we talking Kanye West?
Yeah. Yes. Apparently he had worked
former
for him.
Presidential candidate.
But
Kanye
apparently
West.
He had worked for him before and now is going back
in
there.
In one aspect.
I have no idea.
I
If he went from esports to DC Comics to Kanye West,
he's been many different things. He seems to change jobs quite frequently. So he's out at DC. So we'll see. Basically, his claim to fame is he fired 40% of the staff. Yeehaw. Yes, a piece of art, the first appearance of the black costume, original page by Mike Zeck from Secret Wars 8, sold over the weekend for $3 million plus,
okay,
which
so
is
just,
insane.
Let me just ask a question, though.
Yes.
If I had a copy of Amazing Fantasy number 15, mm-hmm. what would that go for?
Well, that's different. You're talking about a comic versus a page, but yeah, I mean, it's up in that range,
right,
yes.
In high grade, that's like over $1 million.
Yeah.
Right, but
yeah.
that's for the first appearance of Spider-Man.
Well, that's probably the highest pay, it's definitely the highest ever paid for a piece of art.
That's crazy.
Well, here's my question. Here's what I wrote down.
Because that's not his first appearance of the suit, though, right? Isn't that Amazing Spider-Man?
No,
Secret Wars came out before Spider-Man. Cause
Secret Wars, that is the first appearance of the black costume.
Well, or was it?
Because no, I thought it was like those came out and you're like, you had to read Secret Wars.
Right,
War
you're right. You're right. 252 was the first appearance, but Secret Wars 8 was where the costume first appeared. But because it just went from an issue and then you had to read Secret Wars to figure out what had happened. Because, like, in Fantastic Four, the very next issue, all of a sudden, Ben Grimm has a broken leg. How in the world did they break his leg? And you had to read Secret Wars to find out how all this happened. But that was the first black costume. My question is comic art a fungible token now? Where these NFT guys have realized that this is just as good as an NFT. It's even better because it's an actual thing. And now, that's the only reason this thing got bit up, is because somebody's looking at it as a collectible, unique collectible. It certainly wasn't comic fans paying $3 million for that.
It is a one
right
item thing.
But is that going to now totally bugger up the original art market because there are people jumping on this? Or is it just going to bugger up the key comic art market?
Probably the keys.
Probably
you know,
just the key.
Yeah.
But, like, if you had, like, a Miller Dark Knight page.
Right.
Let's just say that was probably going, I've seen him going for, like, $180,000,
$250,000. Yeah. But now why? Yeah.
That's going to go probably over $1 million then. Especially if it's, like, the first one.
Just
with
insane. Absolutely insane.
But people were doing that because it is insane. It's like you can buy a digital copy of somebody slam dunking a basketball in the NBA. That's your technically you own that. And you're like, no, you don't. It's a digital copy.
I love the one thing that happened. Some people, some crypto bros, bought a book, a Dune book, an out of print, very valuable Dune book that was like the Jodorowsky's script or whatever put in, and then somebody drew it. And now they're claiming they own the movie, and they're going to publish they're going to make an animated movie based off this book and everything. It's like, no, you just bought a book, sir. You didn't buy any rights.
You don't own copyright.
Right, but they think now they own the copyright to Dune and everything. It's just
that's like
funny.
I bought Amazing Spider-Man. Does that mean I own Spider-Man now?
According to these guys, yes.
Well, I mean, with the way Disney has kind of messed around with copyright law, you have an argument if you can find a lawyer.
Yeah. And then the last big news that came out today. Big news. Huge news.
Huge.
It is going to change comics forever. DC is killing off the Justice League.
What?
Yep. Issue 75
is... the only way they can get rid of Benz. They had to kill off the whole team.
Issue 75 is the death of the Justice League, yes.
For real.
For real.
And it's going to come back as...
There's no plans to bring them back. They're killing them all.
Yeah, they're going to kill off Batman and
Superman. So they're just killing the book or all the characters?
No, the characters. All the characters in the book.
Well, I think like the Batman, Superman one, like the big ones. So they're probably going to be replaced by other people. And they'll be like the new Justice League, you know. Or
yeah, because, you know, there's not a Batman movie coming out in March that they'll want to tie in book two. especially considering
there's a Batman movie coming out.
A third of their comic book line is a
Batman. Yeah.
So Zach says, "I wish I could get excited by the new Death of Justice League announcement." I agree. Yeah, but like, yeah. So they're gonna kill. My initial thought was, so they're killing half their line. So they're gonna stop putting out all these Batman books.
We're gonna call those legacy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Spencer's right. They're just gonna wipe out the current.
Well, yeah. Roster. So Zach says, do you think they're actually going to go ahead and establish the 5G, but not actually name 5G, status quo seen in the future state with this? I don't know if they're going to do that. My thought is this is a way for them, once again, to bring in the new characters. So instead of Superman, it'll be John. Instead of Batman, it'll be the I Am Batman guy. Instead of Wonder Woman, it'll be either Nubia or Wonder Girl. And they're going to do that for a while. I think it'll be a mistake only because the Wonder Girl book got canceled.
Yeah,
on issue 7 or something.
Yeah, the Nubia book, as I checked in yesterday, I realized it was the only DC book I did not have a single subscriber for.
Wow.
So it's not necessarily a statement on the book, it's just a statement on the interest in that character. Just, we don't need 3 Wonder Woman books right now. You know, it's...
You sure?
Because even the main one is, I'm only selling like 14 copies. You know, it's not doing anything. So, but that's my initial thought on this was that's what they're going to be doing. Was, you know, it's a way to do this, but they've done it before.
I wasn't thinking about all the new characters. I was thinking, oh, this would be cool because then you could have like Wally and Dick and like, you know what I mean, kind of like the Titans.
Right,
guys.
But my guess is they're trying to boost up these guys.
New characters that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
But they'll find that out.
Yeah, but...
Who's writing it?
Josh Williamson. So there's some
chance.
His
new Rogue book that's coming out? That looks interesting.
Yes.
And then we do have one last question. It's from Mr. Ludwig. Which character death, comics or other medium, affected you most? I'll go first. Karen Page. When Kevin Smith killed her off, that really... Because I'd read all the Daredevils, and you know, her and Matt had their ins and outs, and she became a druggie, which led to the whole... Kingpin taking him down during the Born Again storyline and everything. And it just seemed like just such a waste having Mysterio just kill her for no apparent reason.
And she stayed dead, right?
She stayed dead, yeah.
She hasn't came back.
And it actually, the one good thing that came out of it was the Daredevil Yellow was basically Matt's therapist told him he needed to write a letter to her to be able to let go. And that's what Daredevil Yellow was. Basically, it was Matt's letter to her saying goodbye, and it was like going through their adventures and everything, and it was a really good book, but it was meaningful that way. But that one really got me just because of the history and everything with the character, and it was just so meaningless. So that was mine
was, she's died and been reborn so many times, was Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
And was it X-Men 137?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh god, she's really dead, and we find out years later, but the effect of...
But that was a good number of years later,
exactly,
before X-Factor number one.
Yeah, but it was like, oh my gosh, they actually killed a character that I was really attached to. Mm-hmm. But the other one is actually stayed dead, far as I know, is...
Uncle Ben?
Sorry. Captain Marvel from the graphic
novel. Yeah, yeah.
He died of, was it cancer?
Yeah.
I don't think he's...
Oh, Mar-Vell.
Mar-Vell, yeah.
He's never come back,
no.
Has he?
No, they've teased it in little things, but no, I don't think he has, unless he's coming back in the current storyline. But
that was pretty monumental.
Yeah, yeah, and that was in a graphic novel. And I think that had to deal with Starlin's dad dying of lung cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's
and
how
he wrote and drew that, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
See, I've never felt that way about a character.
Okay.
Because I think because of my age, they always come back. And I know they always come back, with the exception of Uncle Ben. And it used to be Uncle Ben and Bucky, but then Bucky came back.
Yeah.
But so to me, it's like, you know, even like Superman. Oh my God, Superman died. He'll be back. He sells too many books.
Yeah. Well, my thought process was like, oh, Jean Grey's going to stay dead.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, wait a minute. They need to bring her back because, like you said, Pat, they're going to sell more books.
But that's, I mean, even now when it's they the did Death of Superman.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. And that's pretty much how
I
this.
I was 15 years old, so I was already jaded that, like, okay, these characters are not going
to
stay.
Well, that's been the reaction so far to the Death of the Justice. Like, it's like,
well,
oh,
I still remember when they did Death of Superman and the black bags, and so many people were coming in the comic store buying these comics.
I think that's what they're wanting to redo, but it's like.
Thinking that they're going to pay for their kids' college education. You're like, no, it's probably going to be worth $20. What is it going for?
The dollar.
About $20.
My uncle bought one for every one of the grandkids the year that came
Marley.
Out. And that was his exact word. So this will pay for your college.
Yeah.
Relax.
Like, no, not when they printed 3 million of them. No.
He put his head on your butt. Relax. Rex did, not Pat.
Thankfully, we clarified.
I think what
especially
I
especially after my comment earlier about Selma Hayek.
Yeah. I think
why don't you sleep like that? Very nice.
What gets me more now with, like, deaths of characters is, like, when there's a death, but it's not actually a death. Like, the Wolverine, when he didn't die, he just got buried in adamantium. Well, Nightwing, he didn't die, he just got shot in the head and acted funny.
There is an actual character that actually blew me away, and that was from The Walking Dead. And if you have not read it, it's Glenn. And when he was dead, and they did him in a horrific way.
Yeah.
And that really, because I got attached to the character, and you're like, oh my God, he'll kill anybody. And he killed him in, like, such a horrific manner. And you're like, wow. And he's going to stay dead, too.
Yeah.
There's no coming back from that.
No. No, there was nothing to, left. His head was a puddle.
No. Yeah, he's gone.
His head was a puddle.
Sticking with Walking Dead, the one death that really, like, shocked me was whenever whenever the governor invaded the prison and the wife and the baby got and I was just like, what?
Yeah,
baby? That's the one that made me go, what?
Yeah, a little hardcore there, kids. Yeah.
Because at first I thought, well, maybe, like, she died, but she was still protecting, like, over the baby, and then I, like, went back and, like, no, that baby's, like, in half.
And then ultimately, they kill the main character.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's pretty ballsy.
But that was the end of the book.
Exactly.
You just didn't know it because they had solicited like 3 issues ahead that were never going to come out.
But kudos to Kirkman for sticking to his guns and killing anybody. You know, and taking anybody out and just continuing on, you know.
Consequently, that episode of the TV show was exactly the point where it jumped the shark.
For Glenn, you mean?
Yeah, when they killed off Glenn.
Yeah. That's about when I stopped watching.
Yeah.
Or I know exactly the episodes.
I stopped watching when Rick left, but that was when I stopped enjoying it.
When Negan was standing outside the compound and they're shooting every known arsenal at the guy and not a single bullet's hitting him, I'm like, okay, this is
it's Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
This is beyond stupid now at this point. So I'm like, no, I'm out.
They're all stormtroopers.
Exactly, they have stormtrooper aim.
Or the A-team. You know why they were elite? It's hard to find 4 guys who are special forces that can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I had for prepared subject matter.
Did anybody check out the Moon Knight trailer?
I did.
Yeah.
I tried, I was watching it, and when I turned my phone, it wouldn't get bigger, so it stayed real small, and I was just like, I can't see anything.
TV. You would miss way too much. Like,
it looks really, really good, but it's on Disney Plus and it's going to be watered down. And I'm
not
like,
necessarily.
I have no hope for it being.
It's definitely not going to be R-rated, but
it needs to be.
No, it doesn't.
You don't think it needs to be?
The comics are not R-rated. That's it. When everybody argues that Deadpool has to be hard R. But Deadpool's comics are not hard R.
Now, back in the day, the first series was a... these two are not getting along on the sofa. Not getting along, but Marley moving and Rex is like, what's going on? Yeah, if only somebody was sitting between them, Mike.
I'm very comfortable.
But it was, I believe that was a direct market exclusive book.
What?
Moon Knight, and it was mature reader.
Okay.
But you're right. It probably could get away with PG-13, but it's a dark, dark.
Character. And that's well, but I mean, the character himself is dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously DID is, they're not going to shy away from that.
Yeah. I mean, the trailer looks fantastic.
Yeah.
The costume looks incredible.
Amazing, yeah.
And the character, the guy playing him,
Poe Dameron.
Was awesome. And you're like, the moment they said, they say, Mark, he's like, who's Mark? You know, like, why are you calling me Mark? You know?
Yeah, like, and that's a change from the comic, in that Mark Spector is not his primary identity.
Well, it might be, but
he may not know it.
Yeah,
he may not know,
but
yeah.
The Stephen Grant, because in the comics, Stephen Grant is like a TV producer or a movie producer, and is a millionaire.
Right.
So, you know, here he's just a lowly shop worker in a museum, but I guess that kind of lets him be close to what's going on.
Yeah.
If only that stuff was in print.
Yeah, if only. But there's a comic accurate Khonshu, which is awesome.
Which was
with the bird face.
Okay, yeah.
That to me is awesome because I didn't think they were gonna do that.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the bathroom where he's beating the hell out of somebody, and it looks like Anubis, which is another Egyptian god.
Was that Ethan Hawke?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is the villain?
I think.
Okay.
It's supposed to be him, but it kind of looked more like Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. It looked kind of like, oh, I'm like, okay. And I think, if I check, it probably is Ethan Hawke.
It is Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, and then another one of the villains, the actor, died in a skiing accident today.
Yeah.
He's not coming back.
No, he's definitely not getting a season two.
So, Peacemaker debuted this week, or last week.
Yes. I watched the first episode.
I've watched all three. It's pretty fantastic.
So, it is every bit as stupid as you would think it is, and it's amazing.
Yes. I liked what James Gunn said, is that just John Cena said, okay, I'll do whatever you want. Because, he does.
Isn't there one scene, he's like, I don't know if it's this episode, he's diving out of a window in his underwear.
Oh,
and stuff
that's
the first scene.
You're like, what?
That was after he was singing.
There was a full sex scene.
With Cena?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was in his underwear singing into a vibrator.
Yes.
That's what happens before another event.
Which causes him to leap out. The window in his underwear. Oh, it's fantastic.
Does the eagle show up?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, that's Eagly. That's his sidekick.
Yeah.
Eagly. It's hilarious. It's really well done. I enjoyed all of it.
It is not Shakespeare.
I'm not looking for Shakespeare. I'm looking for that.
Absolutely, but
it's
enjoyable.
It's very, very
enjoyable.
If
you enjoyed the Suicide Squad, James Gunn's Suicide, you will like this.
Yeah.
I did. So that's cool.
It's stupid fun.
Mm-hmm. Robert Patrick.
Wait till you get to
episode
3.
He's the dad, right?
He's the dad,
Yeah.
I can't say. After Terminator
the opening
2,
is the
I
best
can't
thing ever.
Trust him in anything.
Well, they said about the opening, it's the reason not to hit skip intro.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Gunn had said.
It's a little dance number that's fantastic.
Yes. Cool.
I'll try and watch some of that this weekend, but Ozark comes out this weekend.
Oh, I still haven't even watched season 2 of that.
Also, check out The Eternals.
Yeah, I want to. That's one I want to watch.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. It is not your typical Marvel movie, and then it's a lot of quips and a lot of action. It's very different. But it's...
I liked it.
It's good.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
I think it's a little long.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a Marvel movie.
No, but I mean, even for a Marvel movie, I think it's a little bit long. It's funny because the only character who was in there that I knew was the Black Knight, and he's not the Black Knight in it at all. he's Dane Whitman, but he doesn't actually become the Black Knight in the movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. But
he knows nothing. So.
That's true. He knows nothing.
But you saw the after credit. Though.
Yes. Yeah. And I know who the voice is.
Yeah.
Is there just one scene?
There's two.
Two? Okay.
There's a mid-credit, and then there's an end-credit.
Okay.
And then, you know, they said that the Eternals will return.
Okay.
But
they're eternal.
But are they?
They're going to team up with the Inhumans.
Of course.
So that's all I have for prepared stuff. Anybody else have any other news they saw or anything?
Ray Fisher and Josh Whedon got into a, like a little.
Yeah, Josh Whedon. Yeah, that is not going well for him.
Shut up.
The thing that bothered me the most is when he was talking about Gal Gadot, and he was just joking. She doesn't understand English. No, one, she understands English pretty well. Second, she was Israeli military. Even if she didn't understand the language, she understands body language. You are not joking. You're a scumbag.
Yeah, you're a douche. And he's just reaffirming that he is a douche. And he had such, he was at such a high level.
Yeah, he could have gotten, not, he could have done whatever he wanted. Like,
and now
he
he's,
did. He did Justice League.
And he's literally just falling, like free falling too.
And Ray Fisher's comment was great too. He's like, you had 2 years to come up with a story, and that's what you came up with.
And like when he said that Ray Fisher's not a good actor, I'm sorry, he was the best part of that movie.
Well, especially in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Well, but Joss Whedon read.
But he's, you know, the actor playing Cyborg is Fisher, and I'm like, you're telling me this guy can't act? Give me a break.
Yeah, he can act. Yeah. Okay. He, and even in the Whedon cut, emotionally he had the heaviest load in the whole movie and still pulled it off.
Yeah.
With, you know, a third of the scenes he should have had.
Yeah. Whedon just needs to shut up and go away.
Yeah, I saw somebody said, you know, basically, you just, it's nice when you can write your own obituary. So.
Oh, he's pretty much writing in all caps at this point. Oh, well.
Those vicious dogs.
They are.
Mike.
What'd you read, sir?
Did you read anything?
Yeah, I read a couple.
Do you remember if you read anything?
Yeah, damn it.
Ooh.
I read two today. That's why they're fresh.
Okay.
I'll start with probably the goofiest one. It was Batgirls 2.
I was halfway through it, and then I got interrupted.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was enjoying it, though. I'm enjoying that book more than I thought I would.
So, the three, what are they called?
Batgirl?
No.
Saints.
What are they called? The Saints?
Saints.
So it's the, like, these assassins that are after the three Batgirls.
Right, because they're, Simon Saint is a martyr to them.
Yeah. And they kind of, like, do battle with them and kind of get their butt kicked, and then they kind of, like, retreat back to where Barbara Gordon is, and they kind of, like, chill out. And what did, she had scooters for them?
Yeah.
But they decide, no, we don't want to ride
their
scooters.
Car.
So they got this, like, souped up, like, nice car, but
except that there's a cassette stuck in there.
Yeah,
cassette.
But my favorite thing is, I've always liked Barbara Gordon and Dick Grayson as a couple,
mm-hmm.
and in this book, they're talking to each other, and he's like, "Be careful," and you hear, "I love you, babe. Be careful, babe," and stuff like that. So they're building upon that relationship. So that's kind of cool. So it's a fun.
They've been hitting at that in the Nightwing book,
exactly.
Too.
But they took this one like one step further, and I'm like, "Oh, this is kind of cool." It's just a fun book. It's the artwork's kind of goofy and silly, but
it works.
It's just fun, yeah. This one, Colin, you didn't like so much.
Not so much. I didn't like it.
Rain number one.
My problem is,
what is it?
Rain number one from Joe Hill.
No.
Okay.
We had just done the TV show, so I knew the solicit. So I was waiting for something to happen, and it was kind of like just a lot of build up and foreshadowing that. The build-up was going to be for naught.
Yeah, there's a young lesbian couple that are getting together, and the one girl's coming from out of state and moving with her mother and stuff like that, and she's professing how much she loves her and stuff like that, and the one girl's introducing you all these like little cool little characters in her neighborhood, but she was also foreshadowing, oh, that person's not going to live, that person's not going to live, that, and I'm like, what the heck do you mean they're not going to live? And somebody's like, oh, there's going to be a big storm. And you're like, there's no storm. The skies are clear and everything like that. And then there is a storm. And it starts raining. What would you call it?
Crystals.
Crystals, like sharp crystals. And it just starts piercing and killing everybody. And her main love interest, who she's going to love forever, whoop, bites the big one. And she's like laying there at the end of the like pool of blood going, oh, no. I'm like, where do you go from here?
Mm-hmm.
But Colin wasn't too much of a fan.
No, it just, knowing the basic gist of what the book was going to be about, it just.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just meandered a little long, too long for
me. I think you would like it, Spencer. It's adapted from a Joe Hill short story.
See, maybe that's why I didn't, because I don't remember reading that short story, so that's probably why I didn't register for me.
The other one I'll talk about is Robin and Batman, Chapter 3, the final Jeff Lemire chapter.
Yeah.
Where I thought it was fantastic. So Croc was basically hunting down Dick Grayson. He knows where he's at in the school.
Yeah.
And he finds him. And he says, come out, little bird, or whatever. I know you. I know you're
Robin.
Robin. And he's like, you want me to say your name? I knew who you are. And then Dick tries to kind of like battle him. Puts like a scarf around his head. And he's like, that's not working, kind of thing. And then
Batman shows up.
Batman gets his butt kicked. And Croc takes him away.
Yeah.
And then Grayson's like, oh no, he's going to die too, just like my parents.
Well, because also, like, a little bit before that in the issue, they go, like, they see Robin start, like, really embracing, like, the darkness, and, like, the dark side of Batman. Like, he's beating the crap out of these goons looking for Croc.
Yeah.
And, like, Batman literally has to almost kind of pull him on.
That's enough, Robin.
Yeah, like, whenever Batman's telling you, stop punching him in the face. Like, so he's been dealing with like that kind of stuff throughout.
But
this
there's
whole
like
thing
a
too.
Nice little scene where Alfred's there with Dick Grayson, and Bruce is reading the newspaper, not paying attention at all. And Dick Grayson's like, "I don't want to go to school. I want to stay home and look for Croc." And then Alfred's like, "No, you have to go to school." And then
because Bruce is like, "Yeah,
let him stay home."
Yeah.
And then, like, Alfred goes off on him. He's like, well, next time you get blood on this costume, you clean it. And you know what? We've already been talked to that you're not being a good parent, blah, blah, blah. He needs to go to school. And Bruce goes, oh, you need to go to school. So he goes to school, and, like, this one kid sees his drawing in there, and he's like, oh, you into Dungeons & Dragons? He's like, no. And he's like, no,
And then he didn't want to
join the club
because after school he wanted to go back looking for Croc because the guy's like, oh, well, we normally do it on Wednesdays, but we can switch it to any day, you know, and he's just like, no, and just to get him to leave.
Yeah. So eventually Robin finds Batman in Croc's lair and no one's around except for Batman. He's hanging upside down. He's locked up, and he goes to take him.
Wait, no, it's the old Haley Circus is where he takes him.
Oh, is that where it is? Okay.
Yeah, because that's where Croc takes Batman.
So he tries to get him loose, and then Croc comes in, and they go into battle, and literally Croc is, like, drowning him. And I'm like, he's going to kill him. I'm like, well, he can't kill Robin. He's not Robin yet, officially. So.
Hence a problem with the prequel.
Yeah, I know. And then they go to battle, and you're just like, and Batman's helpless because he can't move, and he's like, just get out of here, you know, kind of leave, kind of thing. And then Robin just ultimately just stabs Croc in the eye and just goes after him and just like takes him out, like literally.
Well, because we find out that, you know, Croc is also in the circus that Nightwing and his, or that, you know, that Robin and his parents are at. And they're always seeing him playing and having a good time, and he's stuck in the pool, and they're just giving him, like, fish guts to eat and stuff like that. Which that was the only part that kind of, because they still made him look like, they made Croc kind of like a kid then.
Yeah.
But, like,
he wasn't full-blown muscle Croc.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know how that works. I was sure he was, like, a teenager or something. I don't know, but he hit the creatine once he got out of the circus. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, it was really good.
It was a great story.
And it ends with him
playing Dungeons and
Dragons with those kids at the mansion, so.
Yeah, Jeff Lemire.
If they did like another volume or something of this.
And the other part I liked is Grayson keeps referencing Nightwing. So that was in his thought process early on.
Yeah.
You know, not just as a...
Well, because we said he was struggling with the dust. He was like, I want to be something darker. I want, you know, maybe I could change and be more like Batman. Like, but then at the end, he's like, I don't have to change. I don't have to be the next Batman. He's like, I can be Robin. And it serves him there with the rest of the Titans.
Yeah, and he's like, he's not going to be alone.
Yeah, so.
It was a great story.
That, or if they did, like, a Titan, like, if he did a Titans book with, like, with that group, the two of them, that would be great, too. So
that's all I'm going to talk about.
That's all you're going to talk about? talk about?
Well, there's other one I'm not going to take.
I was going to say, what about Maniac in New York?
Freaking awesome. Maniac from New York in the Bronx, number two.
This series is way better than it has any right to be. So, Harry, Maniac Harry, is in the school, going on a rampage. The principal's still trying to get a hold of...
And he's on hold, leaving a message for what to do.
Right, for repair company. Yeah. And when he finally gets a hold of somebody, they're like, well, can you go outside?
And assess the situation?
And he looks at the secretary, she's like, don't even look at me.
I'm not going anywhere.
Like, okay.
And the detective and the mayor's main Harry person, they get the call and say, this is going on, and then they bolt for back, going back towards the high school.
Yeah.
But Harry goes after the main character kid, and he's like, oh, no, I don't want to die. He's already killed the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decides to run into his locker?
Well, no. He was in the bathroom, and he wanted to save kids.
Yeah.
But he was afraid to. And he was like, something,
yeah.
And then takes off running. And, in typical horror movie fashion, even though he's running at full speed and Harry's just kind of lumbering along, he's right behind him the whole time.
Yeah.
So he hides in his locker, and at first Harry can't get to it.
He throws his machete through and almost pierces him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, was it a janitor or somebody?
I think it was a teacher.
A teacher came by and threw, was it like bleach or something?
Cleaner or something like
that. Yeah, over Harry, and Harry got momentarily distracted, and you're like, and then the writing was like, he's not going to live long.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Yeah, again, this book is just better than it should be.
The gore level is probably like 8, 9 out of 10.
I wouldn't say that.
There's a lot of red.
There is a lot of red, but it's not like entrails. And you know, because when you see it in a movie, they intentionally ratchet it up and, you know, blood spurts 50 feet in the air because they can. They're not doing that, but it's...
And then there's protesters out front of the schools, you know, blaming the one woman for the death of her mother and stuff like that. The one thing that was like super creepy.
Oh, the little girl.
The little girl who has the inside knowledge.
She survived the train attack.
And she knows what will defeat Harry.
Yeah.
So she's on a train all by herself, and this creep dude's like, where's your mommy? Oh, she's in the bathroom. Oh, I'll wait here with you. And he's full out.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely...
a predator.
Yeah, but she's smarter than him. She gets off the train.
She knows the timing
for, like,
of the door.
2 seconds and jumps on there right before, and, it, like, he runs into the door.
He gets his arm stuck and just is, like, you know, swearing at her. But, so the police are outside, and the mayor's, like, basically telling every cop on duty to rush the building. Just go into the building. And it kind of leaves it at that. Oh, the series is just so fun.
Hotel number two. I don't know. You guys aren't reading it? You're missing out.
I bought the first graphic.
Okay.
I got that. So.
I was waiting for Colin to get copies in. Okay.
You're ordered, just wait.
No, it's all right. It's still the anthology. So this issue there was a woman who was, like, doing an initiation in a biker gang. And she had to kill somebody, but before she had to kill somebody, she had to inhale this gas. So she, instead of killing the guy, takes off. And his car, like, explodes and is burning, so basically left him to burn to death instead of just shooting him. She makes it to the hotel she's hiding out, and, you know, first she's like, oh, you know, no big deal, whatever. But then you don't know, like, how badly she's tripping. You know, she starts seeing, like, fire everywhere, and, like, in the room she sees this green mold, but then she goes to the guy at the front desk, like, you need to clean the room. He's like, we did clean the room. He's like, no, there's mold. And he's like, man, there's no mold.
There's no mold.
But she keeps seeing the mold, and, you know, eventually she trips more and more, and, you know, basically the guy was like, you know, you left me to die, and, you know, you could have killed me, and that would have been more humane than what you did. At the end, you just, you know, you see her stuck in the room with, like, this green mold stuff all over her.
Are they single-contained issues?
They are, but they connect. So okay. There was a little girl who ran off from her parents in the first issue of this series that runs into this woman next to, like, on the grounds of the hotel. And in the first series, they did interconnect, but it was, like, the third issue before you realized that.
Oh, okay.
At first, it just felt like it was kind of a Tales from the Crypt type thing where the hotel manager was the crypt keeper, you know, kind of introducing the things, but then, you know, really didn't play any role. And then you realize, no, they're connected. Well, in this, it's already connecting in the second issue. So.
Cool.
And the last one I'll talk about is Detective.
Two snoring dogs.
Is this week two?
Yeah, this is week two.
I've been enjoying the first two issues so far.
Yeah, it's good. So we the issue starts off, you know, years ago, and there's a little kid whose mom committed violence, and you don't exactly know what happened, but he's talking to like a social worker.
Yeah.
And the social worker's like, you know, we know this can be scary when people we love do things, and, you know, basically goes through the whole spiel. And then we jump to the present. He's the doctor that's actually running Arkham Tower.
The little kid? Grown up?
Yeah, he's grown up. He's now a doctor, and you know, he's running the thing. And then he's interviewing a woman to be another doctor there, but it's actually Kate in disguise. So she's just trying to get intel on the place. And he's like taking her around, and like Mr. Freeze is there, and he's just like, well, I'm just going to get an iced latte or an iced coffee or something. Well, like, you know, like, none of them are behind bars. They're just kind of doing whatever. There was a woman in there, and I don't know who the character is, but she's clearly a Batwoman villain. The one that was all cut up.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't read, like, a whole bunch of Batwoman, so I don't know.
Okay.
Like, her rogues gallery, you know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But she kept saying, I smell something. And they were just kind of ignoring it. And I don't know if I mentioned this the other week, but one of the other characters that's in it is Dr. Chase Meridian, which was Nicole Kidman's character in the third Batman movie?
With Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah, with Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought her into the comics as she's, I guess, the day-to-day operations doctor for the place. And she's trying to get some questions answered from the guy that's running it, too. And he's being a little bit evasive. So you kind of go through the present day stuff, and then it jumps back to...
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. The past. And what we find out is he set his mother up the whole time and then stole money from the social worker, and him and his buddy are just hanging out, eating pizza and watching movies. And he's like, you know, screw them all. So it's like, oh, okay, we'll see where this goes.
Well, and also, like, one of the, when they were, like, looking at the patients, there's also, like, this, like, copycat, like, Harley Quinn.
Well, I was gonna, yeah, because she looked like Harley Quinn, she acted like Harley Quinn, but she wasn't Harley Quinn.
Yeah, it was somebody who's like, a really big fan of Harley Quinn, and she's just in her own padded cell with the pigtails.
But she looks like Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
they drew her
yeah.
to look like Harley Quinn.
Is it the same writer from the first part? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's the same writer throughout the thing, and then, like, certain artists would do chunks. I think certain chunks of, because like these first couple issues, it was Ivan Reis, I think. But I don't, you know, he's not gonna be doing the whole, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna do all 12 issues, not unless they've had this in the can for a while. It's good though.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying this more than I thought I would.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then there was a backup story. It was like another like early like Bruce Wayne as Batman checking in on Arkham, because there was this kid that they like who kept on like leaving like the orphanages or something, or the or like he was being held in Arkham for something.
He was a witness to something, or and then but it, so it was hard. Yeah, his parents were killed, and Batman intervened. The Joker did it. Batman intervened. But Harley was the doctor. So this was before she became Harley. And then Bruce Wayne, you know, shows up because he had donated a bunch of money. And the kid had run off, and he was playing with Clayface.
Yeah, Clayface was like a janitor, which is how good, you know, he's trying to clean, but he's just leaving clay everywhere. Which, if you didn't know what Clayface was, if you're just looking at that art, it looks a little like...
It looks a little janky, but it was interesting though, because it's a different side of Clayface. Like, they humanized him in that moment because he was like, you know, it smells like pee. Yeah, the kid got a little scared when he saw me. You know, it happens. And then, you know, they keep calling him a monster or whatever, and you know, Clayface being Clayface is like, number one, I'll show you a monster, and number two, we'll see what happens when an adult pees.
Yeah, it's kind of playing with that stuff, like from the, what's his face? Is a detective run from a few years ago, Tinian.
Yeah, I really liked that. I enjoyed Clayface trying to redeem himself.
Yeah,
good Clayface is a good Clayface.
Yeah,
I mean, that's so. That's what I read.
I also read Amazing Spider-Man.
There was an Amazing Spider-Man?
There was another Amazing Spider-Man.
No, yeah. For how long? Forever?
Until 100, and then they're renumbering with a new number one.
Are they going to make it all the way up to 100?
That's my guess. I assume they, that's what they're heading
this one's
for.
Like, well, this one's issue 85. Well, I guess they're a couple, because they still got a couple months and each week of that month. So this one is Otto is trying to break into Beyond because they used back whenever like he was Peter and he started Peter Industries, and then when Peter came back and he had to sell everything, these Beyond people are like the ones who bought it, and like that's where they based like all their stuff is off of like off of his stuff. So Otto thinks, well, this is mine. I'm taking back what's mine. So he's going in there to find like the like this little black digital recorder thing that has like all their information and all their like details and everything and stuff on it. Because Spider-Man Ben Reilly Spider-Man, when he fought him last issue and he got beat up, and so he's coming back, and he has some additional weaponry from Beyond that helps him. And then as they continue to fight, he's able to take him outside the building. And as they're fighting on a rooftop, Otto's like, well, there's stuff in here about you. Because, like, throughout this whole, like, story, Ben has been kind of having a struggle with, like, who he is and what he is with being a clone and just like an identity and stuff like that. And
is he gonna stick around?
I don't know. I'm not sure, because like, he has a miniseries that just came out, but I'm sure that's gonna be over by the time the Beyond stuff, you know, before they
the mini is a backstory.
Yeah. So as he's like, and he's been like having like therapy sessions throughout, you know, throughout this run and stuff like that. So Otto's like, they have like, your like psychological profile and like why they hired you to be Spider-Man is a certain reason, you know, because they think they can either, like, control you, you know what I mean? Because they, so, he, like, he takes it off of him. He, like, you know, they fight him when he takes it off of him. He lets Otto escape, and then whenever he gets back to Beyond, he tells the boss lady, he's like, well, I couldn't stop him, but I was able to destroy it, so at least he doesn't have it. And they're like, well, I guess that's better than nothing. And then it shows him, like, in a, back home, because him and his, I don't know, I can't remember if they're married, if they're just, like, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, but Ben's significant other, they, like, live in this penthouse, but, like, it's in this nice penthouse, but, like, they can only leave at certain times. So it's like a nice jail, kind of. So he hands her his mask to ask if she could wash it for him. And the way that they draw, you could tell he kind of had, he kept the recorder, and it's in his mask, and he's handing it to her, and he's like, just, he's like, keep that someplace safe, because, you know, you don't know if they're being recorded or videoed or what, you know, and stuff like that. He goes back into, like, he goes to the bathroom, and he's looking at himself in the mirror, and he punches it, and the way that the glass breaks, there's, like, this big black hole where his face is in the mirror, and that's kind of, like, a thing that they've been messing with, like, an imagery they've been messing with throughout this last story arc and stuff. I can't remember exactly how it ends to where it picks up. I think that it might have ended with that. I can't remember it, exactly. Dark Ages, number 4.
Fell behind, sorry.
This is another Tom Taylor, like, Elseworld kind of mini-series to where, you know, what happened if all the electricity, you know, in the Marvel Universe, you know, vanished. So this issue starts up with the, we get this, the first time I've really seen, like, a majority of the X-Men, and they're, like, pirates. Nightcrawler is the captain, and, they have Storm is, like, kind of, because their ship is basically, a helicarrier that, you know, fell from the sky, whenever, but they put, you know, sails and stuff, and they basically use, like, Storm pretty much pushes the thing across the, you know, through the ocean, you know, with controlling the wind and stuff like that. So they come to Wakanda, and we see her, she's married to Black Panther, and they have a kid, and everybody's kind of, like, regrouping there after the events from the previous issues, and they decide they have to go to where Apocalypse bases and stuff, but that they have to sail there again. So they get everybody that's going to go on the mission on there, and they're sailing across, and it's nighttime, and they're getting very close to the shore where they have to be. It's a few hours until daylight, and they think they're going to make it, and there's people, you know, they're just kind of standing around talking about maybe, you know, the mission and what's going to happen. And Nick Fury's there, and he just gets this, like, flaming harpoon through the chest and gets pulled back. And they reveal that the Ghost Raiders, which are basically just a whole bunch of Ghost Rider pirates, attack the ship to get whatever they can from them. And then, so, the two Wolverine, X-23 Wolverine and her little sidekick, you know, all grown up now, Colossus does, a double fastball special to get him over there, so they're cutting and slicing people, and Nightcrawler bamps over there to retrieve, Nick Fury's body and brings it back. And while this is happening, we find out that Luke Cage and Jessica Jones' kid and Spider-Man kid stowed away on the ship because they wanted to come, but they, you know, wouldn't, because they're only kids, so they wouldn't let them, but they snuck on anyways. So now they're stuck here with all this dangerous stuff, and when, you know, and then when they get to the island too, but they're able to, you know, fight off the pirate. Oh, because because it's like once they got so close to the shore, they would be protected by this thing, and it turns out you're like this. It's Fing Fang Foom being ridden by Ant-Man, and so he has Fing Fang Foom shoots the, like, he brings fire or whatever he does onto the Ghost Raiders, and that gets them to leave. But you know, by that time, Nick Fury has, you know, has died, and that's kind of where the issue ends. But it's cool. There's a little cameo when they do like a splash page of them on the ship. There's a little Tom Taylor cameo in it, which was pretty cool. Batman Urban Legends. I was wondering about this title because last issue, a lot of the story, because they had normally have like 3 to 4 stories in each issue, and all of them was ended last issue. But this one, I saw like their own new issue or all new stories. A lot of them are either like 3 to 6 parts, so they're gonna be going for a little while longer, I guess. But the first part, the first story, was a Batman and Zatanna story, where it was like we find when they were younger, before, you know, he was really Batman and she was Zatanna, they were like having a picnic out somewhere, and they were doing this magic. They don't exactly say for what. I'm thinking to see maybe Bruce's parents, maybe. But it caused this thing to happen. And now, every couple of years, they have to go back to this spot to try to redo the thing that they did to fix it. And it just keeps on getting worse and worse. But they, so this time when they went to leave, Superman stops Batman to have a talk with him. He's like, I've noticed, like, every, like, couple of years, like, you and Zatanna go to leave for a while, then you guys come back, and, like, you guys can't even, like, look at each other. And he's like, I'm not trying to pry into anybody's business, but, like, you know, she's in charge of Justice League Dark. He's like, you're a, you know, big member of the Justice League. I just don't want it to affect anything that's going on. And Batman's like, we got it handled. Don't worry about it. And, like, that's where they start doing, like, flashbacks and stuff. But, like I said, when they came back this time, the area is, like, really bad infected, and it's just, it doesn't look good. So, they start to do the magic again, and, like, something bad happens, and they do a page of, like, a lot of, like, the magicianal characters, like Constantine and Dr. Fate, kind of just, like, noticing, like, they sense something, and they kind of, like, look up, so it's something that's, like, ripples through the whole, like, magical community. And then, like, another story was, like, kind of introducing this new assassin character. I didn't really like that one. And then, I forget what the third story was, but the fourth story, it's a super pet story, and it's written by Mark Russell. And this first part, it's Batman, with Ace, and it goes how Batman found Ace. Like, Ace used to be Joker's dog that was, you know, either got hit with the gas or whatever. It's just, you know, so after he stopped Joker, he didn't want to, like, turn the dog over because they would just put him down, you know. So he takes him, and it kind of shows him kind of, like, rehabilitating him and stuff, and, like, training him. And, like, really, like, in this issue, Ace was more Batman-like than actual Batman. Like, he's, like, running through air ducts to attacking bad guys. Because, like, there's, like, this hostage situation, and it's, Hugo Strange is the one in charge, and he has these mercenaries. While Batman is dealing with Hugo Strange, Ace is, like, trying to take out all these armed gun people to try to save these hostages. And it turns out that the hostages are mercenaries themselves, so just everybody's acting to get Batman to come in because Hugo Strange is strapped with C4, and Batman's like, you know, I've studied you, you won't actually do it and stuff like that, and Hugo Strange's like, yeah, maybe before I had stage 4 cancer, and just like, boop, and just
blows himself up,
and so the mercenaries take Batman, because there's also somebody else who hired him to, you know, because, you know, Batman has a huge price on his head, you know, in the underworld, so they take him, and then they take Ace, and they, because they have, like, this area stored with other, like, dangerous, like a fighting bear and different, like, things where, you know, for you could use animals that have, like, that can be good for killing and stuff like that. So, like, that's where the issue ends. So, I don't know if it's going to be just an all, like, Ace story.
Well, they have a pet movie coming out.
So I don't know. Because the title of the story is Super Pet. So, I don't know if each issue is going to be just, like, he's going to do a different Super Pet and bring them all together somehow, you know, for the end of the story or whatever. But it's Mark Russell, so writing Super Pets, you know. So it should be pretty interesting. And the only other one that I read that I was hoping Dave would be here about was Fantastic Four. And this issue is basically because the Wizard wants custody of one of his clones that is a kid who's being raised by Dragon Man and, you know, some of the other Fantastic Four people. And then, so they're at court the Wizard turns and says, like, oh, even the Fantastic Four, they shouldn't have their kids because they're in danger of their kids. So this issue is, like, wrapping up that story online to where everybody has their kids we find out that whatever the Wizard's actual name is comes into the courtroom, and he's like, no, I'm actually the original, and they scan him, and he has the most percentile of being the actual person. And so he's like, I don't want to, you know, go any farther with, like, the charges. You know, he can be with Dragman and stuff like that. But then we find out at the end that he's actually a clone that Brantley, the son, the kid clone, made and just was really good, did the best job of making it look like. So he basically, like, they're kind of, like, almost seeding, like, his kind of, like, evil kind of turn because he made this clone and stuff like that. Like I said, I know Dave reads the title, too, so, and likes the Fantastic Four, but he's not here today.
Dave's not here, man. Well, I got a bunch of nothing else
read. That's the last one. I had a very light week last week, which made up for this week. I had a big week this week.
I have a huge week this week.
Okay, first one, We Ride Titans. This is from Vault. Basically, the Titans are there to take on the Kaiju to protect the city. And this one family has been controlling this one Titan all this time, where lots of families have given control to the city. This family is keeping hold of it. But sadly, it starts off with being attacked. And this, we'll just call him the brother. I don't remember his name. Sadly, is drunk and smoking while controlling the Titan, and while he defeats the Kaiju, he leveled a city block and caused lots of damage, and there's lots of problems. Well, his sister, who used to run the Titan, has quit, falling out with Dad and not speaking to Mom, and has made a new life for herself, and has a girlfriend, or a wife. And they're moving in, and all of a sudden the mom shows up to say that they need the daughter's help because the brother can't operate the Titan anymore. And it was kind of funny because the wife is like, oh, I never expected to meet my mother-in-law in quite this situation. And it didn't go well. So then the girl shows up at the family, and Dad's in a wheelchair. And basically now they just need her to control the Titan, and she's not happy about it. But it was good. King of Spies, number two. I'm loving this book. This is the Mark Miller one about the James Bond has six months to live, and he's righting all the wrongs. And in this issue, he is just going through and taking out people. Gets on a plane, kills George Bush, because he started the Iraq War and all that stuff, and all these people that died, and all the cover up he had to do to hide his misdeeds and everything. He takes him out, blows up the plane, and has a special parachute in his jacket, and comes down, and there's a guy hanging on to him, and he swings him into these helicopter blades and everything. That was fun. At the beginning, it shows these two like Central American hitmen who were the best there, and one, like, the bottom of his body is blown off and the girl's arms are blown off, and it comes back to that later. But and it's just going through him taking out all these people, and finally they call upon his son, who is also an assassin, and they call him in to take on his dad, and he's all excited. He's like, oh, I'm all for that, because I guess they have a bad relationship. And it shows a bit where he was always out of town, and like at Christmas, and he's laying in bed naked with two women talking to the kid, going, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't be there, but open your presents. And the kid's just getting bitter and bitter. So it's just fun as he's taking it. And then he has this hitman, this greatest assassin, take out two former prime ministers who were having lunch. And then he blows him up, killing his son. The king blows up him and then kills him, cuts off his hand because he needed his hand to get into this arsenal, you know, like for a touch ID type thing. Just, it's just a lot of fun.
Sounds over the top.
And then it shows at the end that these two assassins are called in, and the girl wears the other guy like a backpack. She doesn't have any arms, he doesn't have legs. It's interesting. But I greatly enjoyed it. The art was fantastic. We had Justice League versus Legion of Superheroes, which I guess I got to go find an annual, because I'm definitely missed something jumping in on this number one, which is always good with a number one. But there apparently there's a Gold Lantern. I don't know anything unless that was in that Legion book. But something is a great darkness is coming. I've heard that before. And it's affecting both our timeline and the Justice League timeline simultaneously. So the Legion comes back to meet up with the Justice League, and everybody's in awe because the Legion's formed to emulate the Justice League of this time. And basically they meet up. Daredevil, Woman Without Fear, actually was much better than I expected. It's a little three-issue one tying in with Devil's Reign, kind of. It starts off with she's confronting Kingpin, but she can't. She vowed to Matt not to kill anybody, so she's like, I don't know what
I'm
supposed to
do here. Is this
in the
same timeline?
Yeah. And Kingpin has spent all this time gathering all this information, and he sold the information on Elektra to somebody. And Elektra has to find out, and she realizes she's out at lunch. She goes back to Columbia University, where she was had met Matt, thinking that's where the guy wanted to meet. Runs into an old friend. They're having lunch. She looks out the window and sees this person who had actually recruited her into the Hand. And she goes, and they have a little adventure, and it's flashing back to when she was with the Hand, where Stick wasn't teaching him enough, and this girl in the Hand taught her more. So it was really good with her, you know, having to face her past. I thought that was quite good. And then lastly, this is for James in Harrisburg, as I finally got in second prints of Animal Castle number one, and I read it because he was all excited to see what we had to say about it. And I have to say that was outstanding. It's basically kind of a little riff on Animal Farm. There's this castle in Fortress where all the humans are gone, and they don't know if it's a case of one group came in and killed everyone or if a plague took them out, but just the animals are left. And basically you have a leader who they haven't introduced yet, but I know who he is. And there's a rooster.
Is it a pig?
No, it's a bull.
Oh, okay.
Well, you read Animal.
Yeah, I know. But there's a rooster, and the dogs are like the enforcers, and every animal has to do their job, like some, you know, get grain and bring it to the store for everybody, and they get buttons, and then they pay via these buttons that they get. And you're following the main character is this mama cat whose mate had died, and she's having to do all of his work, which she's not really cut out for. It's like, you know, dragging this giant rock because they're building a tower to the one leader's concubine, and things go wrong. The stone isn't the right shape, and just the dogs are, you know, really violent. And there's this one duck, Daisy, who's helping her out, watching the kids while she's out working, and offers some of her buttons to help the kids eat and stuff. And she's kind of the maddest of the animals. And they go to spend their bunny, their buttons to get food. And they announce that there's not enough food, so they're withholding all rations. And she kind of leads a rebellion. And it gets ugly. A lot of animals are killed. And then she's mounted on the wall with a daisy in her mouth. That's how it ended. And it's like, ooh, this
Did
is...
you ever read issue 3 of Green Arrow?
I have not yet, no. No, it didn't make it to the top of the reading. Actually, I think I accidentally left it here.
Well, you know what's
going to happen. So I will focus, because number 4 comes out next week, so I will get it read.
I'm going to say you don't want a double dose.
No, I will. I'll get that read this weekend. Yeah. Last weekend, even though I had all that time, it just didn't quite work out, sadly, for his reading. I wanted to read more. But that's what I read.
So what's coming out next week, Colin?
So from Diamond, not a whole lot. one of my, well, no, I mean, lots of stuff, but it's, you know, not number ones. But one that I'm like, yay, which is Cowboy Bebop number 1. Mm. Always good to get a comic book tie into a TV show that's been canceled. Thanks, guys. I'm sure this is going to sell great. Let's see, we got Joy Operations 3, that was for Dave, but he's not here, man. New previews next week, so that means the previews order is due next week. There's the one biggie, Saga 55, so Saga is back. I just got restocked on all the trades, if you want to get caught up. So that's coming out, very exciting there. Stray Dogs, Dog Days number 2. Is next week, and that's really it from Diamond. I mean, lots of stuff, but Usagi Yojimbo, Lone Goat and Kid.
Number one.
That's next
Lone
week.
Lone Goat and Kid. That's awesome.
Then, from DC, we have...
It shouldn't be like Lone Goat and Calf or something.
No, a kid is a baby goat.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
We have Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 4. Very excited about that.
You know you are.
We have the Batman Catwoman special. This was supposed to be drawn by John Paul Leon, and then he passed, and a bunch of his friends and admirers finished the issue for him. And then they added some backup, which is going to be like a tribute to him. Very exciting. We have the previews coming. We also have the DC Connect part of preview for coming.
And?
Well, I'll get there. DC versus Vampires 4, that's been so good. Detective 1050, so not only is it a part of the story, it's also a landmark issue. That Human Target number 4, I have been absolutely loving this book. Mm-hmm. A fun one, Peacemaker, Disturbing the Peace, number 1. Oh, it's just a one-shot. I didn't realize it was only a one-shot. Written by Garth Ennis, so that should be fun. We have Superman Robin Special, where they're teaming up again because they're super sons, but now since John is old, whatever. Superman 78, the finale, number 6. And then from Marvel, we have, believe it or not, Spencer, Amazing Spider-Man 87. I know. Avengers Forever, number 2. Death of Doctor Strange, number 5, the finale. We're going to find out who killed him. I bet he killed himself.
Is he really dead?
I don't know. Maybe. We have Devil's Reign, number 3. Devil's Reign Winter Soldier, number 1. Marauders Annual, where I guess the last issue ended that team. The annual starts with a new team and a new creative team. We have Marvel Previews, so we're getting all the previews next week. It's a miracle.
Ooh, you're supposed to.
You're supposed to. It hasn't happened yet, but yeah, we're supposed to. We have Mary Jane and Black Cat Beyond, where they team up to go on an adventure. And then the X-Deaths of Wolverine. We got the X-Lives of Wolverine this week. We got X-Deaths next week and X-Men 7.
How did you do with that?
I think it did pretty well. It's hard to tell. Like, I have one guy who's a big X-Men guy, so I set one of each cover aside, so it's like 11.
Mm.
So it's hard to tell.
So
exactly
you only had one
did.
Left on the shelf, but I didn't know how many.
Well, there were so many variants, and I ordered 2 or 3 of each. And there's probably still some variants on the counter. So that's what we got coming next week. We're doing book club. Is that next week?
No, I think it's...
Yeah, it's next week. Next Friday.
You sure?
Yeah, because tomorrow's the 20th and book club's like the 28th. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So book club, we're doing Bog Bodies. And then February, we're going to do Saga Volume 1. Since it's back, it seemed timely. That's about all we got. We got Superman Month going on. So if you have any questions, comments, want more info, the website is PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Spencer, send us home.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See you.